Our New Testament reading this morning comes from Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 through 35, and that's page number 860 in your pew Bible if you'd like to follow along. Now, on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" And they replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. They did not see him. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over.' So he went to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?' That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. And they were saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread." In our hearing, our speaking, and our living. I want to thank you all again for welcoming me to this pulpit. These are not easy shoes to fill. For those for whom this may not be your first time, both Julie and Paul are wonderful preachers, and it's always a little intimidating to come up here and fill their shoes, but I can feel and appreciate your love and support. And I also want to say thank you very much for your concern of many of our newest immigrant neighbors that we're working with and serving at Faith Action. Now is a particularly difficult time for many of them. We ask that you stick with us. Stick with them, serve, love, and protect them. And Perry, that was a beautiful song this morning. Thank you. I appreciate Perry being here this morning because I know he'll relate to this morning's sermon, and perhaps some others of you will as well. For those who have ever gone to school for acting or even taken a class, how many of you have done that before? Good. You know that often We begin each class with a series of acting exercises that range from silly and awkward to enlightening at times. Usually start off each class with waking up your body and getting rid of inhibitions. So we're told to really shake it off and get really loose. And then we check our alignment and we're told that there's a little Pinocchio string at the top of our head that attaches us up so that our heart and body might be open. And then we do facial exercises, and we were taught almost every day for 4 years to suck it in really close and then... But part of me wishes you'd do this right back to me so I don't feel like a fool. And those of you who haven't done acting classes, just know that this will become familiar. I really highly encourage it. And then diction exercises like the tongue, the lips, the teeth, the tip of the tongue, and you just repeat that dozens of times in the morning. And It's a little strange if you're not used to it. Then once hopefully your body is open, then it's time to awaken your imagination and emotions. And so you use sense memory exercises where you remember kind of in this deeper hypnotic state and embody and act out heightened memories that you have, such as a first kiss. What did it look like? What did it taste like? What did it feel like? What was going through your body at that moment? Or maybe a moment that you were left alone as a child and feeling that fear rising, or moments in which you lashed out at a friend or a loved one. And then you might go on to say just one little sentence over and over and over again, such as, I don't know, I am hungry. And you'll look in a mirror or you'll look at another partner and you'll say, I am hungry about 150 times until you really get to the raw intention behind that line. You should try it. You'd be amazed in how many different ways you might say, I am hungry. You'll start to really believe it. And the goal, as I remember one of my favorite acting teachers saying, was to, in her words, crack us open, which I think meant to have us really empty ourselves and be completely in the present moment so that we get out of the way and really open ourselves to the sights, the sounds around us, and the feelings within us, that we are open and vulnerable with complete access to our deepest hopes and fears, letting go of any baggage we bring into this room so we can tap into the complex emotional life of any character we were tasked with playing. And this was the routine nearly every day for 4 years. And over time, you begin to feel a little bit like a disciple of the arts. And over a while, I began to see it started to have an impact for me in my real life in pretty significant ways. I began to see a sunset and not just think, that's a beautiful sunset, but really be floored, almost impaled by just how gorgeous and remarkable that light breaking through the clouds at the end of the day truly was. And tears had come. In many ways, Jesus asked for a similar kind of discipline and openness with his disciples. He instructed them to pick up the cross, deny yourself, sell everything you have, give to the poor, and follow me. They were told to take nothing on their travels, no staff, no bag, no bread. Kind of sounds like a Naked and Afraid episode, if anybody's seen that show. As they traveled from village to village, encountering the poor and the sick, as well as the rich and the powerful, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. They were told to let go of attachments, to strip away worry or concern, and be immersed in the present moment and the will of God and the needs of the people around them, all while growing in their own trust and faith in God and in one another. Talk about being cracked open. While different in context, this process of emptying oneself and completely giving over to a cause or a craft or a sense of call, whether in the arts or ministry, is very difficult and draining at times. Something I heard both in the seminary and in acting school was, if you can think of anything else to do, do that. And yet this demanding process also leads to enlightenment and meaning in life. As Jesus told his followers, enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the road broad that leads to destruction. And those who enter through it are many. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life. And only a few find it. And to be on this narrow road means that you are willing to be cracked open over and over again to the tragedy and the beauty of life. Facing this tension with courage and hope, and recognizing that the kingdom of God is not just somewhere beyond this life, but it is here, it is in our midst now. And it will grow and become clearer the more that we crack open to it and the harder we work for it. I wish I could say that I'm always moving forward on this road, but I often feel stuck. How about you? There's so many things that block the path. Sorrow, greed, envy, anger, fear, and anxiety, complacency, just to name a few. It's difficult for many people these days to feel hopeful and connected given the realities of war and famine, racism, sexism, homophobia, transphobia, and xenophobia. We often find ourselves praying, God, where are you in the midst of all of this? And it's okay to despair or to tune out for a while. But try not to get stuck there. It's not good for our souls, and the world desperately needs us to connect back in and to bring hope and healing. And then the next question we have to ask is, am I cracked open enough to connect with the Holy Spirit around me and to recognize the kingdom of God in our midst? And am I willing to help make it a reality for those in need? Now, the road to Emmaus is long. It's a 7-mile walk. So the two disciples had time to reflect on the deep pain and sorrow of having lost their beloved friend and teacher, especially in such a brutal and devastating way. Hope was lost. The kingdom that was promised was nowhere to be found, and it felt like the world was coming to an end. That is, until they came upon a stranger. The stranger asked a few simple questions and listened intently, walking with the men in their despair. Their eyes, the scripture says, were not able to recognize that that stranger was in fact Jesus. The weight of what had happened was too heavy in that moment. As the sun set and they approached the village without much hesitation, they practiced one of the most important lessons that their teacher had taught them: to welcome and offer hospitality to the stranger, providing a place to stay as well as food. And it was when Jesus broke the bread at the table, they were once again cracked open and were able to see and praise God in their midst. And while Jesus quickly vanished, the experience remained forever in their heart. And each time we are cracked open, like the disciples, we grow deeper in our faith and we have the courage to work and fight for the kingdom of God on earth, in which all of God's children are treated with dignity and worth, and peace, love, and justice prevail. And the more that our cup runs over with courage and grace, the more hope and healing we bring to a broken world. One remarkable way I've seen and felt people crack open in this church is through the series of, I believe they were Lenten testimonials, in which several members have shared openly recently. You saw it. You heard it in their voices. They were being open and raw and honest about their journey in faith. That was a privilege to hear can tell you it cracked me open. Thank you. A part of the soul of this church are those stories and the impact that they have on others. There are so many other ways to be cracked open. Taking time to watch the sunset or rise each day. Walking in the woods or listening to the ocean. Could be through a piece of music, massage, volunteering with a local organization, welcoming the stranger, speaking out and taking bold action for human rights. Could be forgiving someone. Forgiving someone. Forgiving someone. Telling someone you love them. You love them. Praying openly and vulnerably. Or letting someone pray for you. Letting someone pray for you. Could be a random act of kindness you do today, or going dancing or yoga, or try out an acting class if you haven't already, or through singing. Sing God a simple song, lauda laude. Make it up as you go along, lauda laude. Sing like you like to sing. God loves all simple things. For God is the simplest of all. For God is the simplest of all.
Amen.